Nice to see everyone here, and it's great to be back. I was looking back to see when I was last here, and you know when it was? It was January 2020. So we've had a little interval of, you know, a few events since then, but no, I think that's probably the last time except at Apsley, when I did a report for Myrtlefield work, that was the last time, because I just haven't been out and about. So it's great to be back, and nice to be with you folks in particular. So for the invitation, really appreciate that. And also, it just thinking just there, even as Chris was praying, just about the trust, Myrtlefield trust in the history in Russia, in Ukraine. And I think most of you will know it, but it is interesting to just reflect on that. And obviously, the Lord's work is so much bigger than any one ministry or any few men in the Myrtlefield Trust, as it was then. But it is, as you look back in the after the collapse of the Soviet Union and the doors that opened, they went in and were able to produce literature for first just widely through newspapers and then for teachers' newspapers, and then those developed into books, and then they were invited to produce textbooks for the schools at the official invitation of the Russian government. And so you have a generation of young people who are now, I don't know, what, maybe that'd be probably my age, I suppose, sort of early 40s. You know, and you have a generation of people who were forced to go through this material, whether they liked it or not, in schools. And of course, then latterly what they did was they, because of the way that Ukraine is half Russian-speaking, half Ukrainian, they had it translated into Ukrainian. So when I first came around, and was getting to know Dr. Gooding in 2004, 2005, I think 2006 was the last trip he and John Lennox made. They were still going to Ukraine. So I think the only reason before this war that I knew of places like Luhansk and Donetsk and Kharkiv and Kiev and Mariupol and Odessa and Crimean Peninsula, and you name a place you've heard in the news, they were going there to meet with teachers to teach them how to teach this book on Christian worldview. So the Lord has his timings, and they had a real sense in those days. I remember Dr. Gooding telling me that. He said, we felt we had a window, and we don't think it'd probably stay open that long. And they were right. So as Chris was praying, I think we need to pray that the Lord would take what he's done through them and through so many others and just build on that, and we'll see the fruit of it eventually. So we'll think a little bit more about translations and so on, but I think I was going to break down the three areas. We'll look at it in tech resources, English resources, and translated resources. So that's kind of what we do, of course, is produce Bible resources based on David Gooding's work and a big archive of material that he left us, and the work he did with John Lennox, of course, as well. So I'm trying something a little scary. We'll see, so far it's holding up. Instead of just slides, I thought, why don't I just, so much work has gone into the website, I'll just show you some of the things from the website. And we have two real key resources are this website, which is, you can't see it there, but it's mh316.com, a little subtle and quiet and unobtrusive because it still shows up in places like China and so on, and it's not been blocked yet, which is great. But this is where we have long had, it used to be called kbc.org, but keybibleconcepts.org, various things. But this is where we have a lot of the translations hosted. So right now, if I have it right, I think we have 13 different languages. You can see, so this is handy for those of us who don't speak, you know, Bulgarian. It says Bulgarian. But then if you do speak Bulgarian, well, you know what that says. And so on. So if you can go to these, and that didn't work so well, fall down at the first hurdle. You can, in your own time, go to these where they work, and nope, it dropped. That's all right. We will see if we can get it back to my hotspot. I just gave up on it. But the idea is basically, if you know people who could use materials in these languages, where some of them are available, all these are available as free downloads, and you can go and then download them for them, or a lot of them are connected then to the actual places on our partner publishers who have them, and you can order copies and so on. So if you're working with someone, who needs a Portuguese book, and so on, you can go there. So that just put paid to all of my, you're just going to have to look at me, I'm afraid. Nope, we got it. Okay, good. So this is the idea. They're there available, and this is a Christian publisher in Brazil who has done the work on these, and you can copy that in the various languages. So there are some of the books in Russian. They badly need to be updated for their covers. We're getting there. But there are quite a lot of the books that were done in Russian, and we'll talk about that in a little while. But this last year, that was a big thing, was to redo this site, get it a little bit more usable for people. And then alongside of that was this, and I can't take any credit for any of it. It's one of the guys who works with us named Matthew Craig, who did these. It's really just to try to make it easier to find your way around and get into all of the resources. So you can go and find Old Testament studies, look around by book, say 1 and 2 Samuel, and then what do you want to do? You want to overview the book, or study the whole book, or explore sections and themes, or read Q&A. So let's study the whole book, why not? And then that will take us down to here. And there's whatever is there that's looking at the whole of a book of the Bible that David Gooding taught on, there it is. And it's actually a little bit sneaky because it really does just go down the way. It almost made it. You get the idea. So have a look there and you can see the different books of the Bible. And that, as you can appreciate, does take quite a lot of effort to get it there, and hopefully in a way that is really easy to find and makes through the search feature, you can search and do keyword searches and across all the material now and find what you want to find. So if you find any bugs, let us know. But that's kind of how that is working. We might get it back, but if we don't, that's okay. So those two key websites, if you want to find Myrtlefield stuff, that's where it is. In translation, MH316, and then myrtlefieldhouse.com is our main one. And that has proven to be, I think, helpful for a lot of people, just to find it and to get the resources out. You can share them out and all the rest. But one of the other things, I was trying to show the Q&A there, because one of the key English resources that we finished in this last few months was to pull together an archive of David Gooding's answers to people's questions. So he had, and people would write to him and say, you name it. I mean, and sometimes it was a very short one-pager. Sometimes, I think the biggest was a 40-page answer that he gave, I think on annihilationism. And so he answered a very in a quite a detailed way. So, the range of it is amazing too. You get a long one like that, but then somebody saying, "What do I do with the fact that I think my mother was not saved when she died?" And how does he answer that? So there's a huge range of questions there that you can dig into and find that I think helpful. So we pulled that together, and also he did a lot of question and answer sessions when he was giving talks. And so we gleaned from the transcripts, gleaned those, and then put them as individual questions. So I think it's about 500 individual questions with answers in that archive. So dig into that. And if you search across the whole site, it'll pull up, if you searched for justification or faith or hopelessness or whatever keyword you use, it'll look into the questions and answers as well. But that was a big job. There's a guy who's been with us part-time for a while, and then he came on full-time really to take on this job of editing and pulling that together, Stephen Cunningham, and of course Barbara Hamilton did a lot with that as well. So it's been great to have that up now. Another one of the key things in English, I think you've probably seen this around. They don't get any credit for it, but there's at least three people connected to this church who should get credit, because I sent them copies ahead and said, "Tell me what's wrong with it." Now that sounds bad because it's a book by David Gooding, but this is the first book where we took his material from the archive, and so there's a little bit edited by very subtly in there, but it's pulling together what he wrote on, in this case, people who met Jesus in the Gospel of John, and then just as he would, just kind of telling their story. So the woman at the well, Nicodemus, Nathaniel, and so on. So that you're not just hearing my words, I thought I might just read a little bit of it in case some of you haven't, and see if it's the kind of thing you might find useful for people. I think it's going to be useful for Christians, but also for people who are interested in finding out a little bit more about the gospel. It's not a tract, as you can see, it's whatever it is, about 140 pages. But what we did to try to make it a little bit easier and handy, you have very obviously there's the text of Scripture. That's John's gospel. And then there's the story about that person in David Gooding's words. So let me just read you the epilogue, show you where it all goes. So first you read John 5, 24 to 27. You'll know it well, but it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man." That's John 5, 24 to 27. And then this epilogue, trying to pull things together, reading and believing. So in David Gooding's words regarding John, "Perhaps it is clear enough by now what I meant at the beginning of this book when I said that John's gospel is intended to lead us personally to faith in Christ. That much we can see from the stories we have considered. We have not, of course, considered them all. There are a great many more, and especially if you have never done so, I encourage you to continue reading the entire gospel for yourself and listen as God speaks his living word to you. But how shall we know that the gospel of John really is the word of God? Well, at least one thing is certain. You should not wait until you know it's the word of God before you read it, or you'll be like the man who said he would never go into the water until he learned to swim. If you want to know that it is the word of God, read it carefully and patiently, allowing God to do his life-giving work in your heart. We should remember as well that the gospel of John comes to us with the authority of Jesus Christ. If what it says is true, here is God, our creator, trying to communicate with us, trying to talk to us personally, trying to reveal himself to us, so that through Jesus Christ we may enter into a personal relationship of faith and love with him. Not to be interested in discovering whether it is true or not to be interested in the possibility of hearing our creator speak to us, might seem to indicate a strange, irrational predisposition on our part. Of course, I'm not asking you to believe it before you start reading it, but I am asking you to read it and then make up your mind whether it's true or not. After all, that's how you treat the news, isn't it? You know before you start that some of the things your chosen news source contain will be true and some not. You certainly do not decide before you read to believe whatever they say, but that doesn't stop you reading them. You have confidence enough in your own judgment to read what they say, to reflect on it, and to make up your own mind whether it's true or not. I'm asking you to do the same with the Gospel of John. And if you do, Jesus Christ himself guarantees that, provided you are prepared to fulfill one condition, God will show you personally whether his claims are true or not. And the condition is this: if anyone is willing to do God's will, that is, when he discovers what it is, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. John 7:17. He will find out because as he reads and studies and thinks about what Jesus taught, God will speak to his heart and show him beyond shadow of doubt that what Jesus says is true. The trouble lies, I suspect, with the condition, if anyone is willing to do God's will. We sense before we start that if God did show us the truth, it would carry profound implications for our way of life that we might not wish to face. So we would prefer to approach the whole thing impersonally, like we approach experiments in physics, without committing ourselves in advance to any practical implications. But we cannot treat God like that. We cannot come to the Almighty and say, "Yes, I would like to know whether you were there or not, and whether Jesus Christ is your son or not. Please show me. But I would like you to understand that if you revealed yourself to me, I still am not necessarily prepared to do anything you might tell me to do." God has no time for spiritual dilettantes. But if you are serious and willing to do God's will when you know it, then make the experiment. Read the Gospel of John seriously with an open mind, and Jesus Christ guarantees that God will show you what the truth is. and there's more to it, but you can have a look and you get an idea, hopefully a flavor. And if that is useful to you, there's about, I think, 7 or 8 copies at the back, along with some of the other books. Help yourself to them, use them with people, give them to people who you think can use them. And we ask the Lord to bless that book. So, Journeys with Jesus. And the idea really with that, and that's a big part of and kind of my day job, I guess, is to take, I'm now working on the next one, which is kind of a more commentary length level book on David Gooding's teaching on the Gospel of John. So if you've read According to Luke, kind of like that, but on John. So the idea is that, I mean, there's so much that he left in sermon form and in even quite a lot of manuscript form that we can take, for at least for a lot of the key books he taught on, and have something that's a bit more on telling the stories within a book of the Bible. So we'd like to do that next, probably with Genesis, and in that level of Journeys with Jesus. But then a bigger book saying, okay, here's for someone who wants to really dig in. And then maybe, this one's a little less defined, but maybe a book that is for kind of beginner teachers in a way. So if you wanted to translate something, for people who find themselves in a position, wherever in the world, or in English for that matter, and they need to get going and helping a local church and to teach, they don't want to read a huge commentary, they're not at that level, but they want to get going and they need some help. So that would be a kind of an intro to the Gospel of John and how to actually go about teaching it. So to do that with John, with Genesis, with Judges, with Romans, with a lot of the big books that he taught on in depth, and produce about 3 books on each of those books of the Bible. That's the idea for the next X number of years. So the next 2 in John, hopefully within the next 2 years. So watch this space. But that gives a bit of an idea. But, I mean, one way that we kind of say, okay, are people still interested in this? Obviously, you know, David Gooding has gone home to glory. John Lennox is, don't tell him I told you, but he's going to be 80 this year. So, you know, there are younger and other teachers coming up. Absolutely, and praise God for that. But one of the ways we gauge it is to say, okay, are people still accessing it? Are they still getting into it? And they are. So we sell some of the books, and those have increased, especially if you know Logos software. They've gone crazy with them. And then we give a lot away. And the way we do it is basically after 2 years of that kind of being sold, we then make the download copy for free so that anybody who needs to get it can get it. I don't see that changing. I think that's probably the way we'll keep going. But I explain that partly because I know I've sat before and think, okay, if there's a Christian publisher, then they give away books and they sell books sometimes. Why do they do both? Well, because there's different needs. Because sometimes it's appropriate to sell it because, well, some of us can afford books. And sometimes, as in a lot of places in the world, you need to subsidize it to get the books that people actually need and want. And they're probably going to read them more likely anyway. But the other way I think that we try to see is that issue of translation. And so translated resources is really the other big one. This has been something that the Trust has done well before my time. And we're trying to really consolidate a few things. And I don't think we had probably given it the name of the project we've now tagged it with when I was here 2 years ago, but we're calling it Project 2.2 billion. I don't know if that sounds familiar. But the basic idea is that's the number of people who speak Mandarin, Arabic, Russian, and Spanish. Those 4 big languages. And we're working ahead, especially in Spanish right now, with a guy named Ben Thompson who works with us. We rescued him from PwC. Sorry if anybody's PwC. And because he's a real linguist and he can handle himself in about a dozen languages. It's ridiculous and embarrassing, but he can do that. But he's really good, especially in Spanish, French, and others. But he's doing a lot of the editing of books that already existed in Spanish, bringing them up. So then Myrtlefield en Español. And then we're kind of pushing those out ourselves because there wasn't an obvious partner to do it better. So we're going to see if we can just get them out, especially to South and Central America. They're already in Spain a lot, not so much over there where the bigger population is. So to reach people with those books is a big target. Now here, I know Castlereagh gave a very generous gift to help translate, according to Luke, into Mandarin. And where that stands right now is that it's been fully translated. It now is going through an editing process, and the translator has moved on to the next book, The Bible and Ethics. So you'll see that back there. So thank you for that. That was kind of a match, kind of gift. Somebody matched what was given here and covered the entire cost, which is great. You might pray for that translator. He's a tremendous trophy of God's grace. And his story is rather interesting, that when he first was asked just to review what somebody else was doing in one of the other books, and we found out actually he's better at it, he had a lot of time on his hands because he was in Wuhan at the start of the pandemic. And then he... are we being recorded? I can't remember. Are we being recorded? This doesn't have to. Okay, no, that's right. Oh, it can be vague enough. But basically, he's married to a woman from a neighboring country, and was finally able to join her in said country and continue on the work, which is great. But then not long after that, a coup broke out in said country in the city where he was living. You can think back a few months probably to where that was. But it's been interesting the way trouble has followed him a little bit, but I don't think it's his fault. But he now is in the position where his temporary visa in that neighboring country is running out. He's going to be separated from his wife again, and he's asked us to pray that he could get that visa to stay there. And obviously, we'd love for that for him, and so he can continue the work. I think he'd be able to carry on the work still if he had to go back in China, maybe if he had more time on his hands, but for his own sake, we would love for him to be able to stay where he is. So pray for him. Pray for that Chinese translator, please. Another is Russian. Now, that's interesting, obviously, these days. And as I showed you on the picture there, there were quite a lot of the books that were done in Russian. They've kind of become dated, so we're updating them. And obviously, the covers will need to be updated as well. And fits and starts, we finally got there and finally landed on an editor, because that's really what you need, who could edit in Russian, and she did a fantastic job of the little book called Christianity, Opium, or Truth, which the English is back there. So she finished that, sent that off, sent payment, great, the relationship is up and running. You could guess maybe what country she lived in, because it wasn't Russia, it was Ukraine. She is Ukrainian. And so she had to hightail it, and she had to leave her home. She had to flee, and we knew she was okay, and that was about it for a while. She's now staying with friends in London, and will be for quite some time. And she's asked us. She said, "I would love to obviously she needs to continue to work. She's very eager to keep on. So it looks like that's back on track. But fascinating to me, just the way the Lord is going to use, and I know there's a great difference between the powers that be in Russia and the people of Russia, but still to use a Ukrainian woman to help get the Russian books out to Russia again, I think is a tremendous little example of God's grace. So pray for her, and we'll just think of our Ukrainian editor, as she does that work, because there's a lot to do in that, but I think there's a tremendous opening, because it will be, again, the situation in Russia, as we understand it, for Christian publishing is not great. There's a lot of things have been clamped down quite a bit, but also just what the appetite for good books is, as everywhere, is a bit of a challenge. But the Christian publishers that are there aren't going for meatier stuff. That's what I've heard consistently from different people. So we're going to do kind of what we're doing in Spanish and say we're going to do it as Myrtlefield and however you say that in Russian. I won't even try because I embarrass myself, but if you're to take and then really just broadcast it back in. I should have said that's really kind of what's having to happen with Mandarin at the moment. And in a sense, we feel we're almost stockpiling those translations, praying for the day when that door opens again. And in the meantime, we get them in, just quietly through the internet. And that's still, at this point, possible. So those key countries. And then, I'm just watching my time. Okay, so the fourth then in that Project 2.2 billion is Arabic. This has been a challenge. I don't know how much you know about Arabic, probably more than I did when I started, and maybe more even now than I know. But there are different varieties of Arabic, and different people in different countries who speak Arabic. I mean, it's probably not different than English. I mean, I'm from the States. I've lived here long enough that you can just about stand my accent, probably. But, you know, you speak real English, not people from America. But the differences, I take it, in Arabic are even greater. And so if you're from Jordan or if you're from Egypt, there are opinions and views on what's proper. But we've had to work through that, and we have now kind of landed with one publisher who's going to be doing the more Bible expositional books from Cairo. They're starting into that. And then what surprised me a little bit is that series that was done originally for the Russian school systems, we brought out in English. There's one of them on suffering, life's pain back there. It's just one of the 6 volumes. That is the set they were most interested in. And in my small-minded way, I always thought, well, that'll be sort of the end of the list. You know, we'll get there, maybe. But this is there's a ministry there called Re-Mission. And they are aiming, and they're reaching very, very effectively the millennial generation in the Arabic-speaking world. That's who they target. And so this material is exactly what they wanted. And the man who heads up that ministry is a man named Kais Shamas. And 10 or so years ago, he did a one-year apologetics course in Oxford, and largely under John Lennox, and got to know him. And then through John was introduced to David Gooding's writings, and loved both. He wants to see these books translated into Arabic, but he has bigger ideas than that. But a quick update on the first book now, we've started into that. The first book in that series, I've just heard today, actually, has completed its translation. So 1 out of 6, and that's not bad because they've only had it for about a month. So I think it still needs to be edited. I mean, as an editor, I'm saying it still needs to be edited, and I don't know Arabic. But they'll get there. But they are very keen, and what they want to do then is to do what they do in the social media world, in YouTube, their YouTube channels. Take and produce, and they have their own studio for doing this, to produce kind of explainer videos for these books across the whole series of books, about 120 videos. So it's not a small project. But to do that so that this can become a kind of curriculum for schools to use. So what David and John did, going to Russia and Ukraine and traveling around and teaching teachers, these would kind of take the place of that. Because the teachers in some of the Christian schools, even in Jordan, have said, great material, we love these books, please get them translated. Now who's going to teach it? Because we're not up to speed to teach these. So they have asked for this to be done. It's one of these projects where I have to be careful because I could get quite excited, but you need to, you know, go step by step. But the potential for it, because there's not, unlike in English, there's not just the huge amount of resource there in Arabic for Christians or from a Christian perspective. So there is a potential. You're talking a potential, again, of millions, which is what happened in Russia. So to think that maybe is what the Lord wants to do with these same books, but now in Arabic, but with a new generation taking and teaching them. So I would value your prayers very much. For me, that I don't kind of go too fast in agreeing to things. Because it's exciting, but to be wise in these things, and I mean that seriously. But also, what we have talked about is because they have a kind of professional film studio where they already produce videos, they would do it in Arabic. We may have a Spanish presenter and may have an English presenter, so you do them all at the same time and create a kind of suite of worldview resources that, I don't need to tell you, video is the way so many people, at least their first access point to good material. So there's a huge opportunity there that has come, you know, out of Amman, Jordan, who would have guessed. So we're waiting to see. We're maybe going to go, probably not in May now, probably in September, Ben and I, to go visit and to get to know these guys better. We're just trying to gather some more information, really, about and take advantage of expertise that others have that we don't. So that really brings those English resources, the new English resources, the new tech resources in the website, and the translated resources. The one other thing, I think this isn't sort of a usual kind of thing, but I feel like, you know, in the kind of partnership we have with Castle Ray, but also with other supporters of Myrtlefield, it's good just to lay it out. And don't worry, I'm not saying financial need and asking for money, because that's not how we do it. But there's a strange sort of thing that has come up that just would really value your prayer for. And that's simply that David Gooding left Myrtlefield his house. And if you know, it's kind of over in Upper Malone. He got it in the 80s when the market was ridiculous, and now it's worth a bit more than that. So that's great as a resource for the future of the trust. But is it the right time to sell now? Maybe. Is it the right time to wait? If you do, what should the trustees, and they've asked me to provide a kind of a list of options, to invest funds or and we still need an office somewhere. And if I'm honest with you, sometimes all of these very different kinds of things that are outside of my usual, I'm working on a book project, can become a bit overwhelming and consuming. And it stretched me to be able to have to come and say, Lord, you know what you want with Myrtlefield. It's yours, not mine. You know if you want it to go for 5 years, 10 years, or longer, and what you want it to become, or to stop it. So would you take and show clearly, but me and the trustees, what you want here? So it's an honest prayer request. I would very much value that as we look at that, because in my little way of thinking, to be able to take, okay, we sell some books, and this, besides the main legacy of his spiritual legacy left us, David also left us this house to do something with, to be able to take the sales of books and that house somehow and handle the running costs of the ministry, so that any gifts that come in is straight to that translation project, that is straight to that, would be a tremendous thing. Now, maybe that's not what the Lord wants to do. I think it makes a lot of sense, which our ideas usually do until the Lord shows us something else. But that is what I'm kind of looking to see if there's a way to do that, so that when you lay these out and somebody says, I want to give to this, you say, well, what's your top slice, you know, that you take as a ministry? And there's nothing wrong with that. You need to do, ministries have to operate. But if you didn't have to, and you could just say everything there goes to these projects, well, that would be, I think that, if nothing else, I think David Gooding would have liked that. So pray with us on that, please. And there are other things just with, some of our trustees are getting older, so there's succession planning. Looking to build a wider kind of council of reference, and just to do things as well as we can, and hopefully not be taken up with all the things that can take up admin and all of that, and focus on what we need to be our main thing. So that's an update. If I, you know, thinking about where it goes, I tell people, I think there's probably, if we, those three books, kind of, you're at least 10 years of that, I could see that, if that's what the Lord wants. Beyond that, does he want us to expand to other authors and build another kind of evangelical publishing house? Is that needed? It's very honestly up to him. But I would like, it would be nice to know too, in his time, how he's leading. So he's stretching us that way, I think, just to say, ask me for what I want. Ask me for what I want. And it's not a bad thing to be brought back to often, is it? So, sorry there weren't more pictures, but that was my fault for trying to rely on a website. But you get the idea. Do have a look at the website. And nope, we're not there at the end. So have a look at the website at home. And we thank you very much for just the chance to partner. And we do see it as that. And we thank you for the long partnership we've had with you folks here.